Be'ez Hashem, we begin Perek Shneim Asa, the 12th and final Perek in the Hilchos Shvuos and the Rambam's Laws of Oath in the Seif HaFlo, which the Rambam ends off by saying about how careful a person has to be in these Laws of Oaths. As the Rambam says, Halacha Alef, he opens up regarding the severity of oaths that are in vain or false. Ava b'shaloike ha'nishba l'shav l'sheke, even though the one who swears falsely or in vain, specifically those halachas where the liability is lashes, or where, as you mentioned in the previous parak and previous, that there the halach is different regarding the oath of someone swears falsely regarding no testimony or regarding someone's deposit, where there may be carbon, there he brings a carbon, so there is a penalty imposed on the person, but however, that does not atone fully for the sin of the oath. Shlomo says in the pasuk in Shemais, Lo yinaka Hashem will not cleanse the person for taking his name inappropriately. Ein lozeh nikkun midin shamayim, there is no cleanse from the hands of heaven. Until they collect from him the punishment because of the desecration of God's great name. Shlomo says, like it says in the pasuk, Ve'yikov v'chilata Hashem lekecha, Ani Hashem, that you will desecrate the name of God, I am Hashem, which the beginning of that pasuk said, "Bli sishavu b'shmil Hashem, don't swear falsely." Lefikach, therefore, tzarich adam lihizar ma'ben zeh yosim kol aveiros. The person has to be much more careful in this sin more than all other sins. Now, halacha beis aven zeh, this sin min hachamur tu is from the more stringent sins. Kamei shivan lechaz tshuva, like we explained in the laws of repentance in parak aleph halacha beis, where the Ram defines what's called the kalis, the chamuris, and this is from the chamuris. And afa pishayim by lekaris v'lemis bezin, even though the liability in these in the courts on earth, there's no and even in heaven, there's no karis and there's no mis bezdin. But yes, b'chil Hashem and makudish, there's still a desecration of God's sanctified name, shu god makalvayins, which is the greatest of all the sins. Halacha gimel regarding someone who swears not with God's name or with one of the kinoyim. So mishin nishba b'shemayim v'artu b'shemesh v'kitzmin. Someone swears in heaven and earth or in the sun or anything like that. Now, Ava Bishen Kavanazi El Mishab Ramal, though his intent is obviously only for the one who created them, but in Zeshu, ultimately he did not take an oath, which has to be in God's name. Or even if someone swears in one of the prophets from the prophets, one of the holy writings with it, Tanakh, Ter Nevi'im Ksuvim. So in the Nevi'im or in the Ksuvim, the holy writings. Now, Ava Bishen Kavanazi El Mishab Shalach Novizel, although his intent obviously is only for the one that sent this prophet, or the one who commanded that this should be written. In Zeshua, ultimately, that's not an oath. Now, although you're right, they're not technically oaths, but we still intimidate the person, and we teach the people, that we shouldn't act lightheaded like that, and actually, we act, and we illustrate to the person as if what he took was an oath, but we find an opening, which is the halacha that you could find opening to regret, and then we permit it for them, but we make it look like as if it's really an oath, so that people shouldn't just start doing this and be lax in this area of halacha. Now, halacha dal b'medvim, when do we say this, that it's not really an oath? It's b'shar kisrei kodesh, and all the other holy writings. Aval nishba b'tor, but someone swears in Torah, the tough from Tanakh, the Torah, im nishba b'mashakas, but if he swears regarding what's written inside of it, well, daite alaskaris, his intention is regarding God's names that are mentioned in the Torah, which that, as the Rambam had said in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, would make a person liable for the oath, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Now, v'mnishba b'stam, but if let's say he just swore unspecified regarding the Torah, daiti alekvil, actually his intention is regarding the parchment, v'inkan shvua, and therefore, again, there's no oath over there. Now, let's say netala b'yadu b'nishba, but let's say he takes in his hand and he swears in the Sefer Torah, oh, then it's already, how is the commission nishba b'mashakas, but then it's like as if he swore what's written in it, and then also, then it would be forbidden. Not like when he just, it's there laying in front of him and he says, that it's just in the Torah, and then it would be on the parchment. No, if he's holding it, he means what's written inside of it. Now, aloha, hey, but nishma b'Torah stam. So if someone swears, like we said, unspecified in the Torah, which we said, if he's not holding it, his intention is regarding the parchment, and then it's not an oath. So im tamuch chachamu, if he's a Talmudic scholar, who he knows how to differentiate between if you're just taking the oath unspecified to when you're holding it in your hand, which we said then it's going to have a different halacha. So in the tzarech sheil l'chacham, he doesn't have to go ahead and request from the sage to go ahead and undo it because it's not an oath at all, and he knows that. But if he's an ignoramus, then he has to do this like requesting from the sage, that he shouldn't act lightheaded regarding oaths, because he's not going to know how to differentiate between when he just said it and it's on the table or when he's holding it. And one is going to be a full-fledged oath and one's not going to be. So we always go ahead and make him go ahead and do like a hatara to undo his quote-unquote oath. Now, halacha vav, Ram continues regarding what happens if a slave or a minor takes an oath. So, if a slave takes an oath, his master doesn't have to subdue him and to force him to nullify his oath. And after he took the oath, is like he was before he took the oath, meaning the oath is not taking effect. Which is actually in contrast to Naziris, where there, as Ram explains to Naziris, there actually, if he does accept Naziris, the master has to force him to nullify it, because if he doesn't, actually, it will be a valid Naziris. But here, by oath, no, he doesn't have to nullify it. Lefish in gufe kanulai, because the slave's body is not acquired to himself. He's owned by his master. So it's not like his body is acquired to himself, Kadesh and Tachal of Shabbos, that the oath can take effect on himself. Because Benem B'Shavuz, it says regarding oaths on Pasuk Mamid, but Lester Issa on Nafshay, to make something forbidden on himself, which is Misha Nafshay B'Shavuz, only on Nafshay, it's only if his own life is in his own domain. That excludes a slave who is in his master's domain. So Benimtze comes out Zeh, that this slave is Kamesh Nishba on Nechse Acha, as if he took an oath on someone else's properties, because he doesn't own himself, which a person cannot make someone else's properties forbidden, and therefore it's not an oath at all, and everybody doesn't have to like force him to nullify because it wasn't an oath at all. Halacha Zayin, Kitan Mishanishbu, regarding minors that took an oath. Behem Yedim Tamishwa, and they know, they understand the idea of what oaths are about. So Av Bishim Chayav Moldo, they're not obligated because they're minors. But Kaifin Isam Lamed B'Debrim, we force them to maintain what they had promised. And Kedilach Ancham, that's to train them, Ulaim Aleman, to intimidate them. Kedishalay Yedimigul Kalas Reish B'Shuz, they shouldn't act frivolous regarding oaths. Now, Bimhoya Dabish and Nishbu Ulav, but let's say what they swore about was dabash ain't a cut in yochel amdaboy, was something that a minor cannot withstand, elim kein nizik, unless it's going to cause him harm, meaning it's he can't not withstand, rather it's going to cause him harm. Let's say he swore that he's going to fast. He's not going to eat meat for a long period of time, where we don't want him to then force him to do what he had promised. So then, then his father or his teacher hits him, they beat him, and they reprimand him. They make believe as if, oh, we permitted your oath. And again, the reason is conditionally, we don't want him to be a lax and get used to this idea of taking oaths, so we give him some negative reinforces of consequences that he doesn't go ahead and do this again. Now, the Rambam actually says, actually, one has to be very careful regarding minors. To get them used to speaking true words without taking an oath, they shouldn't be used to swearing the way the Gentiles do. This is like an obligation on their fathers, and on the school teachers. Halacha test Ram continues regarding what happens if someone hears someone taking a shvur shav or shvur sheker. Someone hears someone mentioning God's name in vain, or he hears him swearing falsely, or he said a blessing that's unnecessary, which then they're violating this Isser of Leisiso, which one of the Aseres Adibras of taking God's name in vain. Like explain the laws of brachas and paragam brachas tezvav. You say a bracha, you don't have to. You're saying God's name in vain. So the person who hears the person doing one of these violations, he has an obligation to ostracize the person. If he doesn't excommunicate him, he himself is like ostracized because you heard God's name being profaned and you didn't do anything about it. Now, but however, so although you have to put him in nidui, but you have to undo that right away. And the reason why is that it shouldn't be a stumbling block for other people who are not going to distance from this person that's ostracized, and they're going to stumble. They don't know that you had put him into chayim. Now, if you're going to say, well, let people know what this guy did and let him be in nidui. Says Raman, no, because nimtzu kol ayom b'nidui, then the whole world would be in nidui. Because people are already used to distorting what they say and constantly swearing, and therefore, although technically we do the nidui, but we ultimately right away permit it because or else everyone would be in nidui. Now, Loch Yod says, when do we say this? That whoever hears the guy do this wrong, he has to ostracize him. Is when the one who took the oath, or the one that said the blessing unnecessarily, was mazed. He did it deliberately. But if he did it by mistake, and didn't know that's forbidden, then you don't have to ostracize them. Now, I actually say it's actually not only you don't have to, it's forbidden to ostracize them. So on the shakaz of shaykh, because the pasuk did not punish if you did it by mistake. Rather, masir, rather, you caution him and you warn him not to go ahead and do that again. Halacha Yiravid Rambam continues regarding mentioning God, one of God's names that are designated for him in vain. So now he says it's not only an oath in vain that's forbidden, but even to mention one of the names that are designated for Hashem, it's one of the names that we call him specifically, which there are seven different names. Kael, Elikim, Elika, Eke, Shaket, Tzvokis, Adnos, this Yudke, Vovke, there's certain names that are designated for them, and he says it in vain. Also, that's also forbidden. And Vav Pishle Nishma, even though he didn't use it in the context of an oath. Shari Kasim, Mitzav, Vayim, because the Pasuk commands and says, as it says in Devarim, Leyiras Hashem, Anichma, Vanera, to fear God's glorious and awesome name. Uvachlal Yirase, and include it in fearing, in awe, Eshle Yiskir, but that you don't say it in vain. Now, lefikach, therefore, therefore, if someone, by mistake, his tongue slipped and made a mistake, and they said God's name in vain, so immediately he should go, vishabach, vifar, vihadulah, he should glorify and exalt God's name, that it shouldn't be that he said it in vain, says Ram Kitzah Haso. So Amar, if let's say he said Hashem, he says God's name, so Amar says, Baruch Hu La'olam Vayad, that he should be blessed forever. Ay God Lahu Ma'ul Miyad, or he's great and glorified for very much. Okay, it's the same thing, similar to that, which the custom is to say Baruch Shem Kevayim Machus La'olam Vayad. Kedesh La'il Vatal, that it shouldn't be in vain, where you're saying it and you're saying it in the context of praise. Now, Alochid Beis Ram mentions regarding this idea of being matur, permitting the shvuah. He says, now after Bishem Mutali Shal Al Shvuah, although it's permitted to go and request a release from the oath that the person took through a sage, as we had previously said this, where he investigates the oath to see if you have an opening of regret or is there some way to release the oath. Kamesh Ban, like we explained in Parag Vav Alocha Aleph, and the Imbazet Daifi, and there's nothing wrong with this. And actually, anyone who is afraid of doing this, in El Hashem, it's mean this only has a trace of heresy. Because he's like sort of denying the oral law that says you could be shayl on it. Now, although there is such a thing, says Ram, afa pikein royli zar b'davizah, but still one should be careful regarding this being matad shvuah. Ve'in niskak l'hatem, we don't address ourselves to release the oath. Elnei dvar mitzvah, unless it's for a mitzvah purpose, let's say that there was an oath not to have benefit from a person who now they need to go ahead and teach their children or to do a bris milah, and he's the only one that could do it. Elnei tzav gadol, some great need, like regarding divorce. Only then do we address and do a heter of a shvuah. And the truth is, says the Rambam, it's a great good that a person should not take an oath at all. Not of a minishma, but if he does violate this and he does take the oath, that it should be impained and it should stand good on his oath that he took. Shanemlik says in the pasuk in Tehillim, nishba lahara, if someone took an oath to do bad to himself, meaning that he's going to go through this difficulty of the oath, and not go ahead and go back on his word. And it says after that, whoever does these, will not stumble forever. So you see that one shouldn't take an oath, but if he did, to maintain it and do it, and not to be matur on that shvuah, unless again, like a tzarech gadol, or for that of a mitzvah. And the rabbi writes that this is specifically for an oath. Then we initially don't want to be matur. But if someone took a neder, which has different halachas, as we'll see in the mitzvah in the next halachas, there it's actually a mitzvah to permit that, to be matter that, because the Gemara says in the Darm, the Chav Beis, that if someone takes a ned, it's like he built an altar, and when he fulfills the ned, it's like as if he's makar b'karban on the bum, which you're supposed to bring into the base of Mikdash. And the truth is, the Rambam himself also brings this in the Hilchos Nedarim in Perek Yigimah Halacha Chav Hei. And the reason for that is, would seem to be, is because this in the Darm is very light in people's eyes, and we're concerned that a person will not fulfill what he had done, in contrast to so that we want to be matter that. Contrast to Shavuos, which is very severe, as we had said, Le'yanaka, and we had gone on about the great Chil Hashem, and therefore they were not concerned the person is not going to follow through, and therefore better that he fulfills it, and not be shoyl on that. Shlik l'hu, Hilchos Shavuos, B'siat Hashmai, we have concluded the laws of oath with divine assistance.